Welcome. I have invited a few of my fellow students to present and discuss some of the theories on why there has been an European integration process from after World War II and still going on. If a theory strictly should be able to produce testable hypotheses and predict what should happen in the future, maybe these fail as theories, but they are still explanations on the main forces for the integration process that nearly produced an European constitution. In a bit provocative citation, the discussion could be described as: is the EU characterized by continued state dominance, or by a runaway commission and an activist court progressively chipping away at this dominance? First, Jürgen will present the neo-functionalist view.
Thank you, Einar. The central focus of neo-functionalism is the relationship between economic and political integration. The premise is that integration in economic sectors will lead to pressure for political integration as well, due to spillovers that occur when states discover that integration in one functional area impacts upon their interdependent activities in other related areas. Supranational organizations have then a key role in providing further integration and in solving problems that occur when the volume of trade increases. Bottom line is that initial steps towards integration are self-reinforcing, because more trade creates a bigger need for supranational coordination and cooperation. Thank you.
Thank you. And Andre, the liberal intergovernmentalist view.
Intergovernmentalism has its origins in international relations theory and is centered around the view that the key actors in international affairs is the nation states, rather than supranational actors like the Commission and the European Parliament. Intergovernmentalism explains the pace and direction of integration process by looking at the decisions and actions taken by the governments of the European states. This focus on states and the associated perception of states having their own distinctive national interests, which they defend, especially regarding high politics like foreign policy, security and defense.
Thank you. And Alex, the multi-level governance view.
Yes, multi-level governance is a theory who explains that decisions both in domestic and international politics no longer is decided in a classical intergovernmental way between national governments, but rather on multiplier levels, for example, supranational, national, and subnational level, who all influence the policy process and outcome. It's very important to say that the theory don't deny that national state executives are important, but they deny the ultimate decision-making role they have and sees the process as a cooperation between different levels. This makes the interconnected link between supranational institutions with subnational actors tighter, and that interest groups or local authorities can put their agenda on the policy outcome, because they can negotiate with national governments backed by EU institutions.
Thank you all. Obviously, you can't all be right in the sense that these theories contradict each other, and there are even other theories. So could you, in a few words, tell why your approach is the more convincing, or where the other fails? First, Jürgen, the neo-functionalist.
Well, intergovernmentalism hugely understates the influence exercised in the European integration process of supranational institutions, such as the Commission. The Commission is way more than a facilitator. It does exercise an independent and influential decision-making role. It is a motor force. This seems to be totally overlooked by intergovernmentalists, and also the important concept of spillovers. This is a logical evolvement that has happened many times in the history of the European Union. For example, How is it that a project to integrate coal and steel industries became a free trade union and a common market? Not because every state suddenly realized the advantages, but more as a result of the advantages that became apparent after the first steps towards integration was made, and after the commission was created to drive the integration forward.
Then, Andre, the intergovernmentalist.
Thank you. There is a recognition that the other actors, both within and beyond states, can exercise some influence on developments, but not a crucial, and certainly not in a controlling way. New functionalism and multi-level governance fails to recognize the member states' resistance to some aspects of the integration process in the EU. New functionalism has also seemed to be undervaluing the government-determined frameworks for which the supranational actors operate within. For multi-level governance, there is little evidence of subnational actors exercising much of a policy role other than in the sphere of cohesion policy. Intergovernmentalism can show to more definitive proof behind the reasons of integration, and it also shows to the nation-states being the more prominent actor, with more power to act upon matters of high politics between nations.
And then, Alex, on multilevel governance.
Yes, the drawback of the intergovernmental theory is its focus on the national unity as it was before, because nowadays nations don't necessarily have a common ground and vision. Among the nation, you can find different interests on regional level and among interest groups who interfere in the policy outcomes that affect European integration. When it comes to neo-functionalism, it does not take caution to the diverse political developments at domestic level and its effect on European integration. Therefore, the spillover effect of neo-functionalism is rejected, as it's not a natural and automatic process, but an engagement from subnational actors in collaboration with the supranational institutes of EU that provides further European integration.
Thank you to the three integration theorists. The discussion will obviously continue, and we hope the listeners have enjoyed the debate.